Have you always known that you're on a soul path? And have you wondered how to gain real insight into the steps along your own unique journey? Welcome everyone, I'm Sarah Main, and thank you for joining me on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul. I'm so glad to have you along. Dhammayanti means peace and calm. Dhammayanti sheds a light for your soul through the wisdom that shines in the universal language of Sanskrit. Dhammayanti is the show that speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and enriches your soul. Join me now on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul, and be inspired and uplifted by the beautiful light of this profound, timeless wisdom. Welcome everyone. Welcome along to Dhammayanti, the show for your soul with me, Sarah Main. And today we're going to be talking about coming home to myself. That's right, coming home to myself. And you may have noticed that when you awaken to a feeling that there's something more to life and there's a natural desire to have it, to yearn to find it, that having found that inner stillness, that inner connectedness, that's available in the ups and downs of life, that this move, one way of describing this move to being centered, is like a journey to your true home, to coming home. And here's a famous quote: "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time." And it got me thinking about journeying home to our true home. In talking to a friend recently, and she said that in all the ups and downs of life and the trouble that we see in the world at the moment, she finds the only comfort is to take refuge in what she knows to be true within herself, that anything externally is, or most of externally, can be troublesome, and nothing seems to be on an even keel, nothing seems to be very positive as it would appear. So she said finding comfort in coming back inside herself, and she knows that to be true, and she finds such solace in that inner calm and in that peace and in that quietude, that any exercise or practice of mindfulness or meditation can bring her. And she said that space within herself is far from the madding crowd, as Thomas Hardy said. And it's real, it's solid, and it's dependable. And she said, and this was the phrase, she said, "It's like coming home to myself, like coming home to myself." And I found that description sort of stopped me for a moment. It's not an unfamiliar way of describing it, but I hadn't thought about it for a while, coming home to myself. And I wanted to spend some time on that because I think it's so important. It can be overlooked and it can seem like nothing, but it's everything, coming home to myself, that inner connectedness. And there was another, it reminded me of another story I heard of years ago, actually, a good friend of my parents. She was visiting, and she and her husband back in the early 1960s had come across this very wise man, and they had the opportunity to go and visit him or meet in a large public meeting, and he was recognized as a very wise man. So they were very excited. They had to travel some distance. I think it might have even been overseas to meet him. And they were in this large meeting hall, and they were seated sort of semi up the front, she said. And they had this opportunity, and they're, you know, great anticipation, great travel. And he enters the room, and of course, there's great excitement. And she said, your natural inclination is to sort of go out to them. Within yourself, you go out to them in great excitement. And she said, he sat down, and then after a moment or two, he looked around and looked right at her. So she must have been close-ish to the front. He looked right at her, and she said the experience that she had was like he picked her up and put her back inside herself. Because she'd gone out to him, and he literally sort of energetically picked her up and put her back inside herself. And she just felt anchored within herself and unmoved. And then he looked away and continued the meeting. And that made such an impression on me, because that's an example of coming home to myself. So it's such a lovely way of expressing a universal yearning that we all have to find our way back to a place within ourselves of deep connection to other people in the world around us. And it's often likened to a journey. We don't always have someone who sort of metaphorically picks us up and puts us back inside ourselves, because it seems like a journey, because we seem to start from one place, one state of being, and we end up in another. And it made me think about, there's a lot of myths and legends in the wisdom traditions. They talk a lot about this journey. And I thought about all the different ways this journey has been talked about over the millennia. So the journey, like the liberated prisoner in Plato's allegory of the cave, and I've talked about that in previous shows. And we journey from a state of limitation to one of freedom, from darkness to light, or so it would appear. This journey home has been symbolically told again and again in so many traditional stories and legends. And sometimes the journey can be perilous and fraught with danger in these stories. And the traveler needs to use their strength and their wits to overcome perils to arrive at their destination. And then if you take the Greek epic, the Odyssey, for example, so that was Plato. Now we go into the Odyssey. Odysseus and his companions face incredible mortal dangers and beguiling temptations on their way home after 10 years fighting in the Trojan War. And even when he gets home, Odysseus's trials are not over. He still has to conquer all the sort of parasitic suitors who are competing for his wife Penelope's hand, because they think Odysseus is dead. So all these women, all these men try and, they just take over his house and live the high life and try and woo her so that she'll remarry one of them. And he has to get rid of all of them as well, because they're quite parasitic. And then in the Bible, there's the parable of the prodigal son. And remember, he's starving and he's journeyed away from his home and he's starving, and he's been reduced to stealing dry husks that are the food of pigs. And then there's a particular point in that parable where he says he comes to himself. He comes to himself. And then he remembers that even the servants in his father's house have abundant food and better food than he's got. And so he arises and begins his journey home. So that's another journey home. So now we've got the Plato's cave, where these trapped prisoners in an underground cave, well, one of them anyway, gets free and goes from darkness to light. So, and that's a journey he takes. You've got Odysseus coming home and then having to continue his work, his trials and tribulations to get rid of all these suitors out of his home, and that home is also symbolic. Then you've got the prodigal son from the Bible, and then there's the pilgrim called Christian in The Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan, and that was written in 1678, and it came to him in a dream. And the title of the book is actually The Pilgrim's Progress, From This World to That Which Is to Come. And he's not exactly heading home. He has a vision of a higher dwelling place and an ascension, and that drives him on past perils, very similar to that of Odysseus. And he faces things like the city of destruction and doubting castle and so on. But he's still journeying to a place that he ultimately wants to dwell. And then even you take the brothers Grimm in Grimm's fairy tales, you've got Hansel and Gretel, Sleeping Beauty and Snow White, and a myriad other characters, and they're lost in dark forests often, or they're exiled from their homes. And they yearn to find their way back, particularly Hansel and Gretel, right? They yearn to find their way back through a dark forest. And all of these images and stories are metaphors for this journey back to ourself, within ourself. And think of that woman in that big meeting where that wise man literally, she said, felt like he picked her up and put her back inside herself. But all these stories are our story. This is our story. That they're allegories of our journey through life. And this is true even for those of us with warm, loving families and comfortable homes surrounded by a close community of friends. Often there can be this niggling feeling that something's missing in our lives. And that's a common experience for those who seek a higher energy, higher wisdom, a higher vibration, spiritual wisdom and fulfillment, some sort of connectedness, something. And even the words to describe it seem inadequate. That's why I use a range of them. And that sense of being, that being something more to life can strike those whose circumstances from a worldly point of view are pretty good. So another friend who had a happy upbringing with close circle of friends and family said he just felt this lack, this niggling lack, and he knew there was someone who could tell him how things really worked, a source of wisdom that could explain the mysteries of why people behaved the way he did. And he said he felt, for example, very frustrated when words would slip from his mouth that he didn't intend or want to say, but they shot out anyway. And why he wanted to know why he did things that he didn't want to do and say things he didn't want to say. And he seemed that he lacked the control over these things that would just come out, not all the time, but in certain cases. And he just had this feeling that there was more to life. And Krishna said, but sometimes these things can seem random and every step seems a little bit halting sometimes and it doesn't go in a straight line and it can seem a bit random. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he said that no effort on this path, on this soul path, is ever lost. Just hear that again. No effort on this path is ever lost. We're talking about this soul path, this journey. And often at the beginning of the journey, there's an initial period of reading or questioning or something like that. But no effort is ever lost. So we're going to stop and have a break now. And then after the break, we're going to talk about how you're never alone and help is ever available. And that's an important thing, that no effort is ever lost. And that once we're on this journey, you're never alone. Help is ever available. So we'll be right back after the break. While standing in line to pay for lunch, I heard a young man say to the lady next to him, "It's okay, I'll pay for you." I assume they were together, but in the ensuing conversation, it became clear that they didn't know each other. The young man said, "I try to do something for someone else every day. Today, you're it." He smiled. So did the lady. So did I. So did everyone who heard. This is a great example of Mahatmyam, having a great soul. This greatness of soul is infectious. It spreads. That young man's action delighted everyone there. That lady has a story to share with her friends and family. I'm now sharing it with you. Random acts of kindness are incredibly powerful. It's the power of a great soul, Mahatmyam. Join me, Sarah Main, on Damayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover this greatness together. And check out my website, damayanti.store.
Get empowered. Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Damayanti, the show for your soul. And today we're talking about coming home to myself. And before the break, I was talking about this journey, this apparent journey that we take, where we awaken to something. There's just something more, and that it starts us on a journey. And often those initial periods, there's reading or studying or questioning, can be a bit random. But remember, Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita that no effort on this path is ever lost, this soul path. And my teacher, spiritual teacher, said that the student brings forth the teacher, that the inquiry calls forth the answer. And remember, Jesus said in the Bible, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So this is incredibly good news. It tells us that the inquiry and the effort we make on the path to ultimate peace and freedom will bear fruit. So notice, however, that we have to act first, that we have to act first. We have to ask, seek and knock. The door won't open unless we lift our hand and knock. And the good news is we don't have to knock very loudly, but we do have to knock. And sometimes there are multiple doors. One's there's an inner door and another inner door, and we just knock at each point. But the help and the other good piece of news is that the help and the guidance on the journey is always there. It's ever available. And it can come in a sort of dizzying array of forms. So it can be most unexpected, and to recognize that that's exactly the help and guidance that you need at the time. You need to be awake and aware. In my experience, when I was teaching, often it came in out of the mouth of one of the children, and they said something or they did something, and there was a lesson in it that I needed to learn. And it was for them too, but there was something that I needed to learn as well. So if you're open to it, the guidance is ever available and comes in lovely forms sometimes, unexpected forms. It needn't necessarily be a smack across the face, as it were, physically, literally, hopefully not, or metaphorically. But before I get into it further, if you want to know more about Damayanti or what I'm talking about today, you can go to my website, damayanti.store, D-A-M-A-Y-A-N-T-I, damayanti.store, and there's plenty of information there. And I have a great store with beautiful spiritual jewelry, which act as an energetic reminder for you, and there's Sanskrit written on the jewelry. And it's lovely to have that beautiful meaning close to you. So it's an energetic reminder. There's my book. You can purchase my book, and there's a whole show archive of all my shows you can listen to. And there's a blog with lots of really great articles. And I'm also on social media, Facebook and Instagram. And I think these shows are on YouTube. And you can get in touch with me. There's an email on the website as well. So go to my website, damayanti.store, to find out more. So back to journeying home to myself, coming home to myself, to yourself, to your true home within yourself. The good news is that, like I was saying, all this help and guidance is available, and it's in lots of different forms. And the wise are eager to offer help and to share their wisdom to anyone who asks. So remember, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall open. So you do need to ask. You need to open yourself up by asking, by knocking, by seeking. You're opening yourself up. And different teachers and different answers come in different styles. And sometimes it can be more contemplative, and sometimes they're contemplative practices of meditation and mindfulness. And others lay out a system, like particularly teachers can lay out a system of devotion or prayer or worship. And others have a more action-based approach of ceremonies and regular things to do during the day. And there are some paths that are a combination of contemplation, devotion, and action. So all these paths are designed to overcome the inertia and unhelpful habits and to nurture new ways of living that are purifying and bring health and well-being and happiness and fulfillment. But a key element of all these paths is to awaken and strengthen memory. Because that's one of the biggest issues. We just literally go to sleep. We get distracted, think about something else. And that is, from a point of view of higher awareness on your soul path, that is the equivalent of going to sleep. So promoting memory and staying, as it were, awake and alert and aware is one of the challenges. And my own experience of receiving inspiring wisdom from wonderful teachers, I tried to imbibe their teaching, and they often gave simple practical exercises that supported the learning. But I found myself initially very enthusiastic to incorporate these exercises in my life, because I found I was clearer, more alert, more effective. I felt I was offering my real full potential in situation, often in the years I was teaching, and again with family and friends as well. So time and again, however, I felt that the distractions of the day-to-day responsibilities and what I was doing intruded, and I would just simply forget to do what I wanted to do and what had been offered as an exercise to put this wisdom into practice and to sort of naturalize it. And I noticed, this was the thing, I noticed I kept on getting distracted. It's just natural. And then I'd remember sort of several hours later or several minutes later. So I tried tricks to remind myself. I'd write sticky notes on the mirror or on my day book on my teacher's desk when I was at school. I'd have my day book and I'd write notes to remind myself. I'd set a timer. And then when cell phones came and mobile phones, initially they didn't have that function, but then they had the timer functions. I used to use my phone. And I'd set certain times of the day to practice or remember to practice before certain daily events. And one simple practice was to stop before meals and come to myself and fall still and acknowledge the gift of the meal. And I still do this to this day. And it not only focuses the attention and promotes memory, but in the case of the meal, it also elevates the meal from an ordinary habitual thing to a special thing. And you realize it's a gift. But the main point I want to make here is it's the strengthening of memory is a vital part of assimilating any teachings of the wise or any realization you've had along your way. It's strengthening that memory to stay in that energy, in that vibration of positivity, in that energy that is ascending and enlivening, rather than just going to sleep into habit that is often limiting. So all the efforts I made to strengthen my own memory have borne fruit, and the access to inner stillness and focused attention are now readily available and almost habitual. And my husband and I were discussing this issue and how we could help others to strengthen memory, because it is an issue, and it is one that I think sometimes doesn't get enough attention. And so we considered this conundrum and the enthusiasm for the path laid out by our wise teachings, coupled with the forgetfulness due to life's distractions. And we wanted to provide something that could carry, that you could carry and wear, something that had meaning, and that would give someone, as my friend said, an energetic reminder. And I also have this deep love of Sanskrit for its beauty, its richness of meaning, its universal wisdom, and the concepts that it expresses. So I pondered on this, how I could use Sanskrit to be that energetic reminder. And, you know, it doesn't mean you have to go and do a Sanskrit course, just how could Sanskrit be an energetic reminder for someone of their infinite nature and their true being, and coming and bring them back to themselves, to their true home, and for people on their soul path, on their journey. And so that's how I ended up with my husband creating Dhammayanti and showcasing jewelry in particular, because it's something we wear and hold dear to ourselves. And there's a bit of clothing and homewares, but they all carry a Sanskrit message of deep wisdom, often just one word. So far we have 8 collections that showcase the Sanskrit lettering for prema, universal love, prana, the breath of life, satya, truth, abhayam, fearlessness, balam, is strength and power, abhyasa, resilience, shakti, divine energy, and kshama, is patience. And we've already received wonderful feedback from people who love these pieces that carry both a resonance of deep memory and also a connection to the value expressed in the Sanskrit. And one young woman told me that the word balam, strength, just called out to her, and she wears the necklace all the time and finds that it reminds her of her beautiful inner nature as a strong, powerful person. And she said, this is not the strength of one who puts someone down or puts others down, but it's the strength of one who lifts others up. So isn't that amazing? Not the strength of one who puts other people down, but is the true strength of one who lifts others up. And another woman said she treasures her prema, universal love wristband, and she put it on her nightstand and then turned the light out and then realized it was upside down, so she had to turn the light on, turn it up the right way. The energetic reminder, she had such respect for that, and she couldn't leave it upside down overnight. So remember, no effort is ever lost. There's always hope. Just ask, and the help is always there. And sometimes it comes in unexpected and surprising ways. So let's take a moment now to come back and come back to center, get grounded, be present, breathe, and come home and come back within ourselves. Come back home within yourself. And to finish off, some beautiful Sanskrit. This is the perfect prayer from the Isha Upanishad. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Thank you for spending time with me on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul. To find out more about Dhammayanti or to get my book, Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success, or to purchase my range of beautiful spiritual jewelry, go to my website, dhammayanti.store. That's dhammayanti.store. dhammayanti.store. See you next time.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.